welcome to episode one, or the first proper episode of Tales from the Periphery. And I have a guest. So from Leeds War Games Club, where I gather you're the secretary, Andrew Dickinson.
Hello.
Hello.
Long time no speak. Must be at least 6 days.
Yeah, we'll cover that later, I guess. So you're on the committee, yeah?
I'm the secretary of the actual club itself, but because of certain things that happened in the last 5 years, I'm also one of the directors of a limited company. Because we do own our own premises.
Okay, so now I'm jealous.
We did a lot of juggling because a club cannot own property.
So you essentially performed some complicated financial fiddle involving hiring it out to the club for a peppercorn rent.
Yeah, well, it's not even that. In fact, we're just going through our tax year, and it says you're not charging your club any rent, and it says we own the club. Why do we charge ourselves?
Fair enough.
So. Yeah, it's just so I'm a director of the limited company and I do the finances on that, so it's separate to the treasurer of the club. So we got the Chinese wall between us, so we don't.
And I think we met last year at Heralyn, I think, wasn't it?
We've met a few times before then.
I've certainly exchanged mails with you, Refiasco.
Yeah,
which is LeedsCon.
It was a couple of years ago that I actually did a Berlin or Bust 2, so it was like Berlin airlift, and he says, please come to our war game show, and then a week later we went into lockdown.
Oh right, yeah. Now you come to mention it, yes, I do remember that. Well, that was fun. Anyway, so we'll start with a brief rundown of what little news there is, because obviously I think we covered most of Catalyst's releases this past in episode zero. But I know they're at the Game Manufacturers Association convention, and somebody just put up some very nice pictures of painted Orion. Have you had a look? I mean, have you seen one as a demo agent?
No, I've not seen one, but there has been a Kickstarter or a video of something that came out from Catalyst, and they went, oh, well, it's not too bad. I've seen pictures of people have had got their fingers on them.
Yeah, it doesn't seem, which I think is the reassuring thing, it doesn't seem to have been absolutely slotted with paint,
no,
such that you can just get out a can of primer if it bothers you.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Bill was saying, we think it's quite lovely, but it's. I think on one of the video last week that they do on the Tuesday nights, he said, the best out there are the X-Wing stuff for the pre-paints.
They're lovely.
But, yeah, I don't think they're wanting to get to that sort of
level
of
quality.
I'll
tell you what, are actually very pretty. I just got the Firefly 10-year anniversary box set.
Oh, right. Are they
pre-painted? Kickstarter, and the pre-paints in there are gorgeous. But these are actually all right. They're certainly better than I can paint, but then, as I said, I'm old as dirt. I've had two cataract operations, can't see in 3D, so...
Yeah, I could paint tanks. Uniforms was a bit dodgy until contrast paint came out, and I went, ooh, skill in a bottle!
Alan in a bottle, absolutely. I think we'll probably at some point do an episode on painting, because I know one of the things we need to mention in the news, which I'll cover in a minute, is camo specs. But anyway, moving on to the Catalyst stuff. Apparently, some eagle-eyed people have spotted an Urban Mech Lamb salvage pack in the stuff that's on the table at Gamma. What the...
Well, it's not a very good photo, so it could have been photoshopped and just saw, like, dodged bolts.
It involves a very thorough Photoshop, because there's actually two labels on it at two different angles, and someone's done a very good job if it's a Photoshop.
Yeah, lambs. They look nice. Just turn the page. Just ignore that.
We might have to disagree on that. My first ever Battletech campaign back in 1990 Mumble, the GM NPC was piloting a Phoenix Hawk Lamb. A delightfully eccentric character who sort of fitted the kind of person who'd pilot a Lamb, and was quite useful for getting the rest of us out of trouble when we screwed up. But apart from that, I've not had a case. Well, and nobody makes a good mini. The Ironwind ones are all right, but they suffer from the usual. It's white metal and the molds are a bit old.
Yeah. I mean, I always thought it was a bit too Macross for me. Sort of. There were bits, I mean, you know, I've seen people use them, but in our little groupette, it was, you know, we played with what we liked.
Yeah, one of our club has actually did the Robotech Kickstarter and is currently going, ooh, those are actually awfully similar to certain Battletech mechs. Maybe I'll use those as my Alpha Strike Force.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that and I was very tempted because this I think, came out before the Herbrian schemes put theirs out and therefore led to the last of the lawsuits and Catalyst bringing out the new sculpts as well.
Yeah.
I looked at the Robotech stuff and thought, ooh, I could get some of those. And then I looked at the size and I went, they're not quite in the same scale.
No, they're not. They're not far off, though. Apparently, the real issue with that Kickstarter is it never completely fulfilled.
Yeah, well.
Which I know Rob at our club is a little bit miffed about, to say the least.
Yeah.
Because he was given the option of more mechs as opposed to the wave that never turned up, and he foolishly turned them down.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've only been bitten by two Kickstarters. One was a laser cutter that just I could never get to work. And the other one was some STL files for some Battletech buildings, which were absolutely superb, but were so unprintable. I mean, he had layers that were 0.05 millimetres.
Oh, that's not going to work.
That's not going to work.
No, quite.
So... It wasn't that much money. The laser printer was, but the STLs weren't too much of a hole in the old wallet.
In quite, yeah. The other one that cropped up at Gamma, as Catalyst apparently are talking about direct-to-retail fulfilment.
Ooh.
Which I think you and I have already had a good grumble about the parlous state of distribution in the UK for Battletech bits.
Yeah, well, I know a little bit of the background from last year, because I would say Mr. Bill was doing a reconnaissance mission last year, so we actually popped across to Leeds because we'd done some other stuff previously. Had a game on Wednesday night, and then we all popped down to Games Expo because he wanted to see what it was like. So by the time Sunday came round, he went, right, see you next year then.
and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, and I knew that he was going off to another country to meet another company to have discussions. So, I mean, like everybody else, it's a case of lovely stuff. Wish I could get hold of it.
I've been trying to pick up a battle lance since what, September?
Yeah,
I think it was the last time I could actually buy one, and I'm. Yeah, you know, I could always never not use more Marauders.
Well, I mean, I've got to get around for that. I keep going to Gen Con.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later as well. Yeah, now, the other thing that popped up that I was going to mention was talking to Arthur, who's another of our regulars on the UK Discord, two things. He said, do I reckon... He had one of those I recognise your voice from somewhere moments, which turned out to be that he used to paint along to Meeples and Miniatures. So, yeah, for those of you going, I recognise your voice, about 100 episodes of Meeples and Miniatures between 2013 and 2018 is me. So, yes, that's all you recognise me from. But he did also say he was discussing Camo Specs, the camospecs.com website, which is where... lots of lovely reference miniatures for reference paint jobs appear. There are no UK Camo Specs painters, so if anybody out there is a dab hand with paint and an obsessive about quality camo schemes, in-law camo schemes for Max, there's an opening.
Yeah.
And there are some perks that go with it, I believe.
I mean, there's always perks. I mean, I know a couple of the painters and they'll get, you know, pre-production models to paint up, so you know, as soon as the pack goes on sale, the painted versions are available, and of course most of their stuff ends up in all the literature. There's a couple of guys that I've met in this case of, oh, I recognise that mate from this picture and stuff like this. So a lot of the like the example photos in the BattleTech manuals and Alpha Strike and stuff like that. Most of those are all painted up by the chemospec guys, and they'll take the photos. And it's like most wargaming companies, you know, it's a case of guys who paint stuff get free samples to paint up, so they can take photos, and it's a way to make a living.
Yeah, except that I think Catalyst have slightly more formalised the relationship, I think, haven't they?
Yeah, there's definitely channels between the two.
Yeah. So if that kind of thing, as a listener, piques your curiosity, the link to the Chemospec's requirements will be in the show notes, which you will be able to find on www.talesfromtheperiphery.org.uk sometime when this show goes up. Right, let's move off the news and on to, well, you. How did you get into BattleTech?
Right, I joined Leeds Wargames Club in about 1973, following in the footsteps of my uncle. Gamed Napoleonics, World War II, all that sort of stuff. I kept going, and then sometime in the mid-80s, I think we went to Scarborough one day and bought a box set of something called BattleTech. So
mid-80s, it might have been Battle Droids.
No, it was the one after Battle Droids. So after Mr. Lukas went naughty. In fact, I actually 5 years ago moved in with my dad to look after him, his dotage, and I had a lot of stuff. So I thought, oh, look, there's my BattleTech manual. I'll never play this again because my mates moved away and had kids and all sorts of stuff. So I actually gave it to someone in the States, and that was about a year later. After I got back into BattleTech, it was a case of, oh, that was a bad idea. But no, so it's probably 86, 87, so a few years after it came out and we started playing. It was before the 3050 came out, so it's before all the clan stuff was issued. We played around. My uncle passed away in 91, but there was a couple of guys in the War Games Club that were playing BattleTech. Including a guy called Richard, who was a fantastic painter. He annoys me every time I used to see stuff. And we got a little bit enthusiastic. I mean, we play 3 weeks out of four for about 2 years. I mean, it was getting unhealthy. And of course, this is, you know, I was young and skint, but everything was metal. So I had my little mercenary unit.
And at least with it being BattleTech, you don't need 200 strong army.
Well, you don't need a 200-strong army.
I know. I've seen a quarter of your collection, so I know how big yours is.
So I got a mercenary unit, and then I got Richard to paint up about a dozen to about being 14 of the 10th Lyran Guard, because I like the Lyran Guard and stuff like that. And he had Jade Falcons, and he had Carita. I think he even got Marek. He painted a lot. I had a lot of stuff like was painted NATO three colour stuff, very dodgy. In fact, I actually got my first airbrush because of BattleTech, because I thought, oh, his painting is really nice and he uses an airbrush. I'm going to have to buy one now, aren't I? And then spent all my money on propellant cans and stuff like that, because I mean, so it was okay, and that kept going until about 2000 when he, you know, got a proper job and got married and had kids and stuff like that. So I stopped.
It's something that when we did this similar question on Meeples, the number of people said, I think it got to about 2000, and then I had kids and a job, and now I have disposable income.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably just after 2000, because that's when Powers That Be decided to close FASA. So it changed a bit, and it went into the next period, you know, Jihad and stuff like that, and it just didn't appeal to me. I don't know why. And then the Mech Warrior game, that, you know, the click stuff came out, and it was a case of, oh, that's where it's going. So we kept playing with the old stuff for about another couple of years, and then I say it lost interest. But yeah, as you mentioned, I do half of Fiasco at the Royal Armouries, which will be, you know, last Sunday in October. It's because that's when the clocks go back, so we get an extra hour in bed. We're not
very
stupid.
Wise move.
It's about 2017 or 18, I got an email from a couple of guys, Ed, you probably know, and from
I think
Bradford.
I ran into him at the Pudsey convention.
Yeah, he was running the game
they,
there.
They were running one of the narrative games, I think.
Yeah, and he'd asked for Bradford Battletech Battalion if he could put a display on. I went, oh, yeah, come along. But about that time, I was 49, so I was approaching 50, and I went, right, time to spend some money. So I went, I'm off to Comic-Con. Coming up to my 50th, it's my 50th birthday, I'm going to Comic-Con, it's going to be really expensive. I went to Comic-Con, met a load of mates that I'd met online. At the end of the week, I said, coming back next year, aren't I? And they all went, smiled and went, yep. So I've been to everyone since.
Oh, God.
And then 2019, he was looking at it, and I'm coming, San Diego, that's in sort of like end of July. It's Gen Con, first week in August. It's 2 weeks apart. I can watch some baseball in the middle. So I did Comic-Con and then got a train from San Francisco to Chicago because I thought, why not take an Amtrak for 2,500 miles? And then ended up going to Gen Con in 2019, joined in all their grinder events, kept killing things, and every time you kill thing, you got a booster box and stuff like that. So I thought, oh, this is good. And the Kickstarter was still running. So even though I'd just gone to Comic-Con and Gen Con and taken a very long trip, I went to Kickstarter and went, here, have all my money. So all the plastics turned up and I went, ooh, I'm going to have to paint these. And that's when contrast paints came out and saved my life. And then since then, I've been back to Gen Con every year. And last year, we ended up hosting the Mercenaries Kickstarter party for the UK.
Sweet.
Which was Friday night and a Saturday. The Sunday had already been pre-booked, so we only had it for 2 days. But over the 2 days, I think we had 92 visitors, 80-odd of which turned up on the Friday and the Saturday. Or it was something like that. It was a lot of people. I think we had 120-odd mechs on a very large table playing Alpha Strike,
nice.
Which we use as hexes because we don't like tape measures. So we were running those, and that led to another thing and doing UK stuff. But, I mean, last year, because I'd start building on terrain and stuff like that, I thought, right, people have been saying that we should go around and do more shows to, you know, advertise Fiasco and the club and stuff like that. So I went, any volunteers? No? What a surprise.
The regular cat herding problem.
Yes, it's definitely the cat herding problem. So last year, I went a little bit silly.
Yes, weren't you doing Berwick the day before?
No. I did. I mean, last
but
year.
You did Border Reaver, didn't you?
I did Border, but yeah. That was near the end of the year. I did Hammerhead last year, which at that point we were still in talks. We didn't know if we actually had the Kickstarter party.
I must have missed you because I did Hammerhead.
No, you did. You were next to me. That's when you invited me to your show.
Ah, you're right. So it was. So I had, as if you've listened to my other podcast, you'll know, a hell of a 2023 with both my parents being ill and my mum passing away. And
yeah.
My memory's a little flaky for some parts of 2023.
Yeah, so is mine. So I did Hammerhead, and then 2 weeks later, I did Aircon, which is one of the largest board gaming conventions in Harrogate. Took a couple of mats and a lot of mechs and played with that and advertised the fact, you know, that we're having a Kickstarter party. That was fun. Got snowed in, so I had to stay overnight.
Oh, tragedy.
Well, yeah. And then we did the Kickstarter. Lots of people turned up. Lots of beer was drunk. I think we had pizza. I'm sure we ordered food. And then
I'm really sorry I missed that. I bottled the Kickstarter.
Right.
And then about 6 weeks later, I think Dan at our club started a classic campaign, and I went, you know what, I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
So I'm a late backer, which means every now and then I have to prod Catalyst for copies of backer-only emails.
Yeah.
But I backed the, that's going to be an awful lot of plastic level.
Oh, no, I went, yes, do I admit this? I went Neighbour of the Beast.
Ow.
Yes.
I just went battalion.
I went double. Well, put it this way, the list I've got, I have 19 lances of vehicles turning up.
What can you have a shoot for a bit?
I've no idea. We only ever play with 12. I've got ridiculous amounts. To be quite honest, we one of the big events we had, I was talking to Kendall, who's a long-time Battletech, he's on Facebook and all that sort of stuff, and I went, I think I've just bought my 250. 50th Mech, and he just looked at me, smirked, and he says, "Oh, that's so quaint. I've over 2,000."
Gordon, I thought I was bad.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of stuff for when people stop playing, and when eBay was new, he raided eBay a lot.
Yeah, I did that over the past 2 weeks, and I think I've picked up just over 200 mechs in three collections.
Yeah. I
including a complete Star Colonel level clan Kickstarter.
That's nice. I mean,
for about the original price as well.
That's not bad. Now the thing is of all the shows last year, I think I did 8 or 9, including Border Reaver on the Saturday up in Gateshead. I then got a taxi to the train station, got a train down to Peterborough, got to the hotel to find out that hotels.com had cancelled my booking. Had to find a hotel, which was very nice. I used my hotel points, but otherwise it would cost me £250 because there was two weddings and it was in a golf course. But it was really nice. Did your show and then came home and went, I really should stop doing this. And then ended up doing another two shows. So I did Joy of Six because, yeah, Battletech's near enough Sixville.
Peter, I was talking to Peter at Hammerhead.
Yeah.
He was saying he's very keen for more sci-fi, so...
Yeah, I've got other options for sci-fi, but I said my mate Ken's going from Yorkshire Gamer, so I'm trying to convince him to do a American Civil War stuff, because these small scale stuff's not been out for a while. So, yeah, in May, it was sort of, you know, people were prodding me. You really should join the Catalyst demo team, so I did. Ended up...
my application's in.
Yeah, ended up doing Gen Con and running some games and stuff like that. In fact... ended up running a couple of sessions of Leviathans, which I'm really looking forward to because it's a good giggle as Leviathans, and it scratches my other naval obsessions. So did that, and then ended up doing Essen as well, which was mad. Yeah, that's just.
It's always, yeah.
I mean, if you've been to the Excel Center,
yeah,
you know how big the Excel Center is.
Yep.
And it's got, well, six triple halls or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Essen is about 50% bigger than that, and all of it is occupied by games.
Ow.
Oh, did someone mention 200,000 visitors?
Good grief.
I saw 1.5 of the halls in the 3 days I was there. And I was walking around in this case of, ooh. I mean, Essen is 90% board games, 5%. Figure gaming and, you know, stuff like that, and the other 5% of it is people just making deals, wheeling and dealing, because it's an industry event, and that's where the wheeling and dealing is. I mean, UK Games Expo has a stand there, and you know, that just went along and said hi, because I mean, I run a convention myself, and it's not on the same scale as theirs. I mean, they get 25,000 over the 3 days or something like that.
We get 300.
Yeah, and I thought, I looked, and there was a kettle and a box of Yorkshire tea and some cups and some milk. And then I looked up, and there's a webcam. They actually, every time they have a meeting, they ask all their people that they're meeting with to make a cup of tea, and they stream it just to make sure they're doing it right. I thought, yep, they're English.
They're so English.
Yeah.
Aren't they just?
So, yeah, that's it. I'm next week, I shall be flying off to Chicago to do Adepticon.
Ooh.
Because why not spend even more money? But basically, because the Adepticon is followed by the weekend after by WonderCon, which is Comic Con's baby sister.
All right.
It's Comic Con Light or Comic Con without all the stress.
But just too early for baseball season.
Spring training's already out.
Spring training's on the moment,
I think the season actually starts on the 29th of March.
Yeah.
So I will be seeing some live baseball.
Jealous.
Yeah, except for the
horrible. I have a life quest to visit every single major league stadium.
I think I've done 8.
Yeah, I'm about the same as you then. All right, quick fire round.
God.
Classic or Alpha Strike?
Depends on the mood, but it's mostly Alpha Strike because I had COVID last year and my brain's a bit fuddled, so the maths are easier in Alpha Strike. And you get to play with more toys,
which is true.
Which gives you an excuse to buy more toys.
Toys, yeah. Friendly enough. I'm with you all the way, except I think the place we differ is I don't mind tape measures, and you obviously do.
Well, no, it was a case of Ed's got a load of the Heroclix hexes, and I quite fancy doing, you know, hex stuff. I'm a design draftsman.
Right.
So I bought the TIFF file that all the map manufacturers use. There's a guy in the Czechoslovakia or something like that that does all of the mats. So I've been printing them out for the club cheap on stuff like shopping bag material. I mean, you saw it last week.
Yeah, you've got a massive, for those who haven't seen it, it's what, 12 by 6?
I've got 4 6 by 4 green hexed stuff.
So right.
Basically, I've got the JPEG, and came in one Saturday and went, right, I'm a draftsman, I've got AutoCAD, hexes, this is easy, click. And then PDF'd them and then sent them off to a company called PixArt Printing, which is an Anglo-Italian company. And they have a sort of like waitlisting type stuff. If you want it quick, it's more expensive. If you don't mind waiting a couple of weeks, it's cheaper. So I was getting 6x4 mats with hexes, or without hexes for the club, and they were running for 25 quid each.
Oof, don't be telling too many people that. You'll put the likes of Tiny War Games and Deep Cut out of business.
Well, I mean, it's not the same. If you want the same quality, you'll be paying for the same about the same amount. I mean, I've just they've got something called blackout material, which is like cloth, but it's got a very, very thin neoprene behind it. It's a lot thinner than a normal mouse mat. But it's quite good. I mean, the largest we've had is 24x8 for Alpha Strike because,
wow,
you know, we're not power hungry.
No, not at all.
But I mean, the advantage with we actually own our own premises because one of our members did the very blokey thing and didn't go to the doctors when he found it hard to go to the toilet. And by the time he went to the doctors, the doctor went, "You have prostate cancer." And
that
nothing...
is the root cause of half my 2023, though, fortunately for different reasons for my dad.
Yeah. So that was Brian. He actually became a member of the club because I used to work with him. He was a plumbing engineer. He passed away and left us everything. So we now own our own premises, which is 3,000 square feet.
It's pretty much the holy grail for war games clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few that do it now. Yeah. I know about
Grimsby
5 or 6.
Grimsby do, if memory
serves. Grimsby's got their own, Liverpool's got their own. There's some guys in the south that have all retired and just went, right, well, why not? So they've got stuff. But we moved in and we've been there for 3 and a bit years.
Yeah. So, it is certainly Middle England Battletech mecca, as far as I can tell.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's the actual club don't play Battletech other than myself and another guy, but because of the sort of contacts we've made, there's about 20 of us, I think, now in our WhatsApp group. Everything from, you know, Bradford Battletech Battalion and Harrogate War Games Club. There's guys from York, there's guys from Huddersfield. We've got guys coming across from Manchester, from Preston. I mean, at Hammerhead last year, I got one of the guys from Sheffield and Rotherham playing, and now they're all fairly addicted. But for some reason, their passports are refused at the border from South Yorkshire to West Yorkshire, so they haven't turned up. So if they're listening to this, you are on notice.
I am absolutely, I'm absolutely fine. I was born in Garforth.
Ooh, well, that's about 3 miles away from where I live, because I live in Temple Newsham.
Well, there you go. Right, next question.
Yes.
Do your mechs have to be painted before they go on the table?
They don't have to be. Depends who you're playing, but most of mine have got at least 3 colours on. In fact, if you play a competition, a Catalyst-ranked competition, your mechs have to be painted with at least 3 colours, which is sort of like the general stuff. And they actually give you points for if your mechs are Catalyst or the proper stuff. Don't actually say Catalyst, and it says, have your mechs been released from 2018?
Right.
Which is, you know, are you using ours?
Using our lovely, fun, very nice to paint plastics.
Yeah.
If not, why not?
Well, the thing is that I did a lot of shows last year, and one of the part was, well, this is the new plastic, because I was doing a Civil War thing. So I had the 10th Lyran versus the unit I'm painting at the moment, which is getting bigger and bigger, is the 1st Davian Guard.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh, Civil War. All the 10th Lyran are metal, all the Davian, the new plastics. So, of course, I will show people, yes, you did play in the 80s. This is a Daishi from Ralph Arthur, and this is a Daishi from Catalyst. And if you've ever put the two Daishis together, one's around about 25% bigger weighs twice as much.
And so, if you think that's bad,
Atlas.
The bolt lot I just picked up off eBay that wasn't the Kickstarter had a Ralph Arthur metal Atlas in it.
Yeah. I've got one of the original ones. I mean, the original ones is about the size of the Catalyst, or possibly a little bit smaller than the Catalyst Annihilator. Then there was a resculpt that was, for some reason, about an inch and a half taller than the original metal. And then you've got the plastic Atlas.
Yeah, I think I've got the little one.
Yeah, I've got the little one. And, if you put the... You definitely go in the... That Atlas is far away. This Atlas is close.
Absolutely.
I don't take any of the metals around now because I don't drive, so it's all public transport. And the metal stuff is not light.
No, it's not. Whereas picking up even one of those 75, 95 Mac Feltair cases full of plastic is sort of one hand and
off you
go.
I'd much prefer the plastic stuff.
Yeah, I have to say, I am with you in that given any choice at all, I will paint. I had to get a Huron Warrior on the table a few weeks ago that I hadn't painted, and that's the only time I've done that. But other than that, I'm very much... And like I said, I can't paint for toffee, but given Slapshot and speed paints, I can get something that looks perfectly reasonable on the table in about 30 minutes a mech, if that.
Yeah, we held the English Nationals last November. And
which we'll come to in a bit.
Yes, and... at the same time, the WWE, which is the worldwide event, was announced with, oh, we'll do that as well. And that was like Capellans versus a lot of clan stuff. It's based out of one of the books. It was something about bootlaces. I can't remember the title.
For the cost of bootlaces. I played it with the guys down in Enfield.
Yeah, so we ran that. Arthur ran the classic stuff on the Friday night, and then we ran the Alpha Strike version on the Saturday. And we thought, oh, God, there's like 44 mechs in the Capellans, and there's 50-odd clan mechs. So we're all saying, right, well, they all have to be official. So one of our guys went, because he's, you know, he has a large selection of mechs, which may or may not be... Well, no, I mean, it's you know, as I said before, you know, if you don't say they make it, they're not going to say anything.
No.
So, after Fiasco, which is like 5 weeks before the worldwide event we're doing, I thought, I've got a load of plastics that I could paint up as Capellans. So I painted 44 mechs in 6 weeks.
Nice one.
And a load of clan stuff. The Shamrock Green... from Warpaint or whoever it is.
The speed paint Shamrock Green. Perfect Capellan colour.
Yes, I used a whole bottle in about a week.
That doesn't surprise me. That's the one I'm using on Liamex, and it looks gorgeous.
It's very bright, but it's very,
little speed
very
paint
nice.
Gold highlight over the top. And
you're
laughing.
So I went from, you know, in 18 months, I've gone from unpainted mercenary unit in the 10th Lyran Guard that my mate painted for me to the Davian's now 60 odd strong. I've got a load of clan stuff, Capellans. I'm now painting a load of Hell's Horses for Game Expo.
Excellent. Right. Favourite era?
Civil War.
I'm an early clan invasion man, but I'm still slowly catching up from 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it all goes down to the sort of like the breakdown in the early 20s when the books stopped and the files have stopped printing stuff. I mean, when it went to FanPro, it was fine. I mean, I bought the, I think one of the very first PDFs I ever bought was the FanPro Battletech manual, which I've still got on my OneDrive. And we played that for a while, but it, shall we say, the dark times. It may not have been the dark ages, but the dark times. I mean, I was constantly playing other computer games as well, so it's not like I, you know, Battletech, she's left me. I was always doing something. You know, MechWarriors 2 and yeah. all that sort of stuff, and online. I did online for a bit, but that was getting a bit... That wasn't fun at the end. But, you know, MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries, I played to death, and the Harebrained Scheme stuff, I still play.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, because, you know, I am a tabletop wargamer, so therefore I prefer the turn-based stuff, because even though Harebrained turned into percentages, I could understand where it was coming from. But I stopped with the can books.
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time on Battletech 3056 Muse back when there were text-based adventures, text-based games, as a faction head. And that was set in, obviously enough, 3056, so it became pretty much my favourite period. So moving on from favourite era, favourite faction?
I mean, my unit that I used was 10th Iron.
Oh, that was going to be the next question. But
yeah, I mean, you know, it was 10th Iron, so obviously Davian. Because, yeah. you know, Lyran by name, definitely not by nature.
No.
so, you know, I just follow the books. I mean, I liked a lot of the Combine stuff. My clan force of note was a set of purple ghost bears, including painting all the checkers.
I'm with you on the ghost bears, I have to say.
Painting all the checkers on the shin guards that was off the original Battletech Compendium, I think it was on. And then I actually hand painted all of the ghost bear symbols, which is Oof. Why I now play wear glasses.
Yes, it is indeed. it turned up as one of the job lots I bought. The guy threw in a copy of the Battletech Compendium, so I have it right in front of me.
Is it the broken vault madcap?
It's a madcap.
With the elemental next to
it. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Oh,
and,
that's sad.
And it's got
that's
the yellow and...
sad.
And yellow and black, yellow and red checks on the on the side of the feet and Ghost Bear logos. Yeah, lovely paint. Lovely cover, that one, actually, all things considered. So, yeah, we've established then... So mine actually is, believe it or not, you won't when you hear what my favourite unit is, but I've always had a soft spot for Draconis Combine, mostly because I really enjoyed Wolves on the Border.
Yeah, I love that.
There's just some such, I always thought that that as a culture was handled really well, because I think flipping it. Remind me who wrote it?
Thurston? But no, not
it's
Thurston.
No, it's not Thurston. It's
second. Google Foo.
Yes, I would, but I don't want to lose focus on the window with the podcast in it. it's matey boy.
Yeah,
he says helpfully.
Robert Charette,
who, if you listen to his interview on one of the US podcasts, is a serious Japanese culture nut.
Oh, right.
And you can tell, because it's brilliant, just the way he gets that culture into Draconis Combine, it's clear he knows his stuff. So, yeah. But my favourite faction, now favourite unit, yours 10th Lyran, I assume.
Yep.
Yeah, mine, 12th Vegan Rangers.
Right, okay.
Mostly because they get their well, I was one of their COs on the Battletech Muse. Wow. So we did a lot of historical research into where it was, what it did. It gets so little love in the lore, which for a four regiment in 3050, Fedcom loyal mercenary unit is just criminal.
Yeah. Well, it might be in the new faction books. Available
Who knows?
Soon.
I can hope, but I'm pitching a couple of shrapnel stories set in probably right back at the beginning, because they've got a great origin story.
Right, I think it was just as the air travel was opened up in 21, Comic-Con ran a Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con Light type thing. And I went to that one. It was either that or the WonderCon the year after. And one of the special guests, who gets, you know, panels and stuff like this and signings, mm-hmm. was Michael Stackpole.
Oh, cool.
So I went to his panel, and I thought, you idiot, you forgot to pack the books. Because I was going to get all of the On Guard Riposte and all that sort of stuff signed.
Coupe.
I forgot them at home.
No.
I was hitting my head on many, many doors. So there was about 50 people in this panel. And, you know, he just sat down and says, right, any questions? And 95% of the people in there were asking Star Wars questions. Surprisingly enough. Because
no, I suppose that's fair, isn't it? Because he's written some pretty good Star Trek books.
I mean, X-Wing?
Star Wars books.
Was it X-Wing, Leroy? I can't remember what it was. But I've got them, but I just haven't read them. And so it was like, the questions, what's happening here? And I says, right then, you're a science fiction writer, which basically means that, you know, in 1980, you were a soothsayer. You had to predict what the future would bring. And it says, in your Battletech books, what's the one thing, other than computers, do you think you got most wrong? And he said social media, because...
he's not wrong.
No, and information exchange, because, you know, he wrote where, you know, if someone was on a long dropship thing, you know, doing some jumps on a jump ship, he said you would order what papers you want delivered and stuff like that. And he says, you know, that wouldn't happen now. You just log in. I mean, that's... The original rule book, then and now, is exactly the same, which I love. There are another game systems that have, you know, gone through multiple editions and stuff like that, and have to rewrite, you know, have to rebuy armies every 2 years or something like that, which I'm not going to mention, which Battletech hasn't done.
The Helm memory core still contains 750 megs of agricultural data.
Yeah, that's...
Which is, to be fair, is probably a heck of a load of encyclopedias.
Yeah, but the one thing that, I mean, it's 40th anniversary. The understanding of what you can and cannot do, even 40 years later, is completely different to what it was when it started. So if they actually brought out and rewrote the whole rule set, I wouldn't be too upset, because there are certain things in Battletech that just don't make sense in my brain, like long LRMs. I always thought, look, you fire one missile, and if it's an LRM-20, it gets there, it breaks up, and it's a cluster munition of 20 submunitions. It should be written like that, because if you look at a mech sheet, you know, for classic, well, I've got an LRM-20 with 2 tons of ammunition. That means I've got 240 missiles. It's a case of pick up the miniature, go, where?
It's choice now.
Yeah. And I always think that, you know, lasers should all have the same range. It's a laser.
It's a laser beam. Yeah, that's a fair point. But to be fair, one of the things that I sell people on with Battletech
is that it hasn't changed.
That I can... I mean, when we were doing the showdown in Bedford the other week, we had several people come along and said, oh, I used to play this when I was blah, blah. I said, well, that's fine. You want that box, pointing at a game of Armored Combat, because
it's exactly
the rules have not changed.
Yes.
You'll be able to pick that and play it, and you'll go, oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. And if you want to go on from there, you can.
Yeah. I think the only thing that has changed is they've changed some of the mathematics on the mech design. Because they're saying if you've got an archer from, you know, second edition, it's not quite the same structure and armor change.
Yeah.
But I mean, every time I run games at shows and stuff like that, oh, Battletech, I used to play that. I'm gonna get two T-shirts. One, Battletech, yes, you did play it in the 90s. And the other one is I'm gonna get a T-shirt with 7, 8, and 9 across the chest, 12 at the neck. Five and nine at the bottom of the T-shirt.
Yes, and whatever it is at each shoulder.
You know, tens, 11s, 3s and 4s.
Oh, I love
so
it.
So I can look, saying, right, you've hit me in the, look at the T-shirt, left leg.
Right, if you print those, I want one.
Yeah.
The other one I tend to do is, so, a game of Armored Combat. This is your dad's Battletech.
Yes. Yeah. But no, that, you know, Bill's doing the 40th anniversary. You know, Randall's doing the 40th anniversary. So if you see him, grab one of the patches.
Oh, I will be. I have a leather jacket which is queuing up for a bunch of patches.
A lovely bloke. I mean, when he popped across last year, I He'd been to Ireland because it was the bank holiday, so they'd been to Ireland. Doesn't drink.
Does he not?
No, but the Irish do.
Mm-hmm.
So he came to Leeds quite apprehensive, but he turned up the day before, so I took him to York Minster, and then we went downstairs and went, "Oh, look, all of this is Roman. You know, this is 1850 years old."
Yeah,
And
you're
oh,
taking round some castles while you're at it.
well, yeah. And then on the second day, because fiascos at the Armouries, so I took him around the Royal Armouries Museum. So that,
Where sadly the lovely Kirsty has moved on.
yes. Oh, you did the? Did you do
We did one of
Waterloo?
the War Games event, yeah.
Well, yeah, because we did a couple, because we did Waterloo, we did 1916, because we did Jutland, and there was another one. Oh, when they moved the Agincourt model up, so they did
Yeah, I
a
was there for that.
they did
And we did
a.
it. We did a Don Featherstone 54 mm 100 years War game.
I did make stuff out of MDF, because
Sweet.
I was cheap.
Right.
They work quite well.
Let's
Yes.
move on. Let's zip through the events calendar, ending in an obvious place. Coming up soon, the Mug and Meeple in Gravesend has a Third Succession War campaign day on the 16th of March, which is a Saturday. Promises to be fun. Bring your 8,000 BV armies. Link will be in the show notes as usual. Following day, we, as in Peterborough War Games Club, are at Chilcon. Having managed to shoehorn us into the table layout at the last minute, we will be bringing Alpha Strike game, which is probably going to involve a capture the flag, King of the Hill game around a large nuclear power station, which may once have been a colander. Chorus Store in Doncaster are running an Alpha Strike tournament. Again, links are in the whatchamacallit, show notes. That's the word, and there you can pay and book in advance if you want. We'll skip over the London GT because it's not until the 27th and 29th of September. And, drum roll, the BattleTech English Nationals, which I believe you may have something to do with.
Yes. Once again, I keep putting my hand up to do stuff and thinking, did I really do that? Yes, we held it last year.
That was November-ish,
That
wasn't
was
it?
November-ish.
Yeah.
And because we'd already done the recon mission to Games Expo, we'd already discussed, well, why don't we make a week of it? So there's actually one, two, three, four events on the trot that are part of
Is it reunification tour, they're calling it?
the reunification tour. So in Spain, there is the European Championships. The week after is the English Nationals in Leeds. The week after that is Games Expo at the NEC in Birmingham. And the week after that is a big competition slash gathering at in Ireland. So someone's going to be doing a lot of patch giving out and getting a lot of air miles.
Mr. Bills.
Yes, Mr. Bills. So yeah, late May bank holiday. We'll do a fun game on the Friday night.
It's only just dawned on me that's the bank holiday weekend.
It is. Does
That's
this?
useful.
It's quite useful. The Saturday will be the actual championship itself, which will probably be four rounds, something similar to what we did last year. Sunday there'll be a Bloodright game, and we'll also be setting up all the display stuff that we'll be doing for Games Expo, because we're building a 12-foot long diorama. We're having a full mech size clan overlord.
Nice.
I've discovered LEDs because I went to a gaming sh
Oh
a
dear.
a modeling thing at the Armouries a couple of weeks ago, and went, "Oh, I'll buy some LEDs." Well, I was going to buy them anyway, but there's going to be a road down the middle, and I've figured out they're going to have cat's eyes, and they're all going to be lit up. The landing pod for the Overlord is going to have flashing lights. If you remember the Sean Connery film, Outland, say
Yep.
Outland. When it lands, it's got all the lights coming in, which is the iconic start of the movie. I keep trying to find it on Netflix or something like that. It's a superb movie. So that's going to have that. So I bought one with a little controller that you can have an app on your phone and it'll flash all the different colours. Then we're going to have a 4x4 Alpha Strike Hexed game at the end. We've also got some pre-production. Well, I think you saw it actually last week. So we've got some of the map scale dropships that are coming
Yeah, I saw those.
from Catalyst. I took a razor saw to one of them, so I've cut the top off and paired inside and went, yep, I can fit a 9-volt battery in that. So we're going to have a map scale dropship around about 10 feet off the ground. I'm going to get a very thin fishing rod or something like that and have it dropping in with flashing lights and smoke and stuff like that. Yeah, so we're doing that, and I said the week after is the Games Expo, which,
So what's he doing in between? Castles?
well, I mean, I'll be seeing him at Adepticon, but it's a case of right, where are you flying into? So if he flies in sort of like late week, would you fly into Manchester? If he flies into Manchester, I know people who play BattleTech in Manchester, and then
He's
they
going
can
to be
go.
battle-teched
Well, no. I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, for Adepticon, he's put the call out. It's a case of, look, do you have a local friendly gaming store that plays BattleTech? Drop me a line and I'll pop in. So I think he's trying
Well,
to
we're
get to
not
his
that far
members.
from you.
Well, no. I mean, the thing is that you're not far from Birmingham anyway. So, I mean, you meet on the Mondays, don't you?
We do, yeah. It'll be a bank holiday as well,
It
which
will
is
be a
even better.
bank holiday. So I'm going to try and sit down and work out an itinerary that gets Randall to as many game shops as possible, because he'll spend 2 days in Leeds because the championship and the check after. But I mean,
Well, I'm going to be up there for that, so.
yeah. So he's got a Monday, he's got a Tuesday, Wednesday he's probably going to be in Birmingham because he'll be setting up, and then we're probably going to have to take a van down to set up on the Thursday, and then make our heads out on the Friday, the Saturday, and the Sunday.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm double booked that weekend, which I'm somewhat annoyed about.
Yeah, well,
Anywho, it
but
could be
whatever.
worse.
It could be worse.
But yeah, I say I am rather looking forward to that.
Yes.
I've not had a chance to get to a really big organised bash. I mean, we've been to some of the Enf a couple of the Enfield and Stuart Strategos Level 3
Yeah.
tournaments that he's organised, but definitely looking forward to a weekend of it.
Yes, and then after that, and after Games Expo, the month after, I'm doing something really silly because I'm doing Historicon, Comic Con, and Gen Con on consecutive weekends.
All right.
And then I
I've done
work.
Historicon.
All
I can
right.
thoroughly recommend Historicon.
Yeah. So I will then be spending the rest of the year working as many hours as I can to pay for it all.
Yeah, seems entirely reasonable.
Yeah.
I will probably see Adepticon next year, though. I think my plan is to go.
I mean, I've been to gaming conventions in the States, but I've never been to a historical slash tabletop one.
They're a bit of a mind shift from,
Yeah, because it's where people play.
Yes.
I mean, the Gen Con ones, there's some guys, the Ottawa Redshirts normally come down, and for at least 3 years, I've joined in a whole day Vietnam gaming, 15 mil,
Yeah, I
and
mean
they're
the way
superb.
his yeah, the way Historicon works is that you actually find a game book in.
Yeah.
And there's basically it's very different to the average British show because that's usually one day and you sort of wander up and you go, oh, can I play for a bit, please?
Yeah.
Whereas here you go, all right, there's a 4 hour slot here for whatever it turns out to be, and you sign up and you play that slot, and most people will play three games a day. It's very, very different.
I mean, Gen Con is very similar. I mean, the first time I went through one of the hotels, because they use all the local hotels' ballrooms and stuff like that. So I went through a Hilton ballroom at 1:30 in the morning, and it was full of people playing D&D. So you could actually play 24 hours for 4 days if you wished. I mean, Gen Con last year, they have a portal, so you put your games forward. I've run a Checky 6 game, and I run an expanse role-playing game there. And so you put your games forward, and then there's one day, and everybody sort of like puts their requests in, and the game that they want to play that you put in is number one, and you work your way down. And I think last year there were 17,000 events in 4 days. I have an Excel sheet. I'm going, oh, that double box. Can I get from this place to Lucas Farm in half an hour? I mean, the thing is now, because I'm a demo agent, I'll be going to Gen Con and running games, so I'll get the fee replaced. But a lot of the demo guys, you know, they'll put you up in hotels. Hotels are not cheap going to Gen Con. But,
no.
You know, I'm from Yorkshire. I'm grumpy. So I'm getting my own hotel room.
Short arms, deep pockets.
Short arms, deep pockets. Well, not for this holiday. you do get the benefits, but
cool. Right. I think we're about done, unless you've got anything else that we haven't covered that you think I ought to touch on.
No, I think I'm talked out, which is unusual for me. Although I did
success.
No. I did beat my record. I taught Alpha Strike in 3 minutes 40 seconds.
You beat me by about 20 seconds on Monday when I taught several people and mentioned your 4 minute.
Yeah.
I got through it in 3 minutes 30 because they were timing me.
Yeah. The last game that I played last Saturday at Hammerhead was a gentleman, I think his son and his granddaughter. And his granddaughter was about 4 or 5. And she killed her granddad. And she killed her granddad's partner on his side. Because she had an axeman. And she axed him in the back after jumping behind him. And she was just giggling all the time.
Those are so rewarding, aren't they?
Yes, so I left Hammerhead minus one painted wasp. Because she took it. Because it's a case of, nope, you've had far too much fun. Here, have this.
Lovely.
Which, of course, is one of the advantages that, you know, we can get stuff from Catalyst that he can give away. So
Well, so my application is in.
Yep.
Given the number of people I've got. But I've persuaded, I mean, Matt finished a game at the club last night with his birthday vouchers from Zatu burning a hole in his pocket. And literally, I went to the loo, I came back, he showed me the order confirmation.
Yeah.
For a game of Armored Combat.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's 40 years old, and to be quite honest, I've got some metal stuff here. I've got a Grand Titan, still in his pack, I think cast in 98, that's how long it's been, it's cast. Alright, it's $7, but the same similar size mech, he's still around about $7.
Yeah,
which is I find, you know, you complain, oh, this is way too expensive, and then you look at it and you went, no, it's exactly the same price as it was 30 years ago.
And you can play Classic with four mechs.
Yep.
You can play Alpha Strike in a club evening with 12 aside.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And what's not? We are hopefully preaching to the choir in our listeners here, but yes. Just in case not, get out there, buy some stuff, have some fun.
Well, I mean that's basically what Games Expo is. And it's a case of, it's 3 days. You know, I want as many people as I can humanly grab without being arrested to get to throw dice on a table.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. That's how it goes.
Okay.
And on that note, my guest has been Andy Dickinson of Leeds War Games Club.
Oh, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure, mate. Take care.
Right,
see you again soon.
Right, bye.
Ah, there we go. So that was Andy. Always a pleasure to talk to him. And that just leaves a little roundup of the directory updates since the last episode. New on the directory, we have West Allotment Wildings, who are up in Newcastle. They meet Fridays 6 till 10, and they play quite a bit of Battletech. We have the Hammer and Ales Tabletop Gaming Club, who meet in Nottingham at the Station Hotel in Hucknall. They play Tuesdays 7 to 11:30. They play semi-regular Battletech. Newport Gaming Club are at the Pen and Wig in Newport in South Wales. Mondays all day, by the looks of it. All day till through into the evening. We then have Viet Taff, who are actually meeting in the Antic Store in Cardiff in the Windham Arcade. They meet Thursday evenings again, semi-regular Battletech. We have Factorum, who meet in Warminster in Wiltshire. They have regular Battletech and Alpha Strike events. We have the Enfield Gamers, who I mentioned earlier, who are a very keen bunch of Battletech gamers. They're the guys I played the narrative scenario with. They meet in Ponder's End, which is sort of in the general sort of Chingford-ish kind of area, which is useful for me because they're only about 5 minutes from my mother-in-law. It's a good escape. And they meet at the Ponder's End United Reformed Church Hall. That's all the new ones we have for this episode. So if you are planning on any Battletech events or your club meets regularly and you haven't let me know, please drop me a line at the address on the website, which is info@talesfromtheperiphery.org.uk, or you can catch me in the UK Battletech Discord. The invite link is on the website. I'm Fleetfoot Mike. You can find me everywhere, but the Hash Podcast channel is where we tend to talk about podcasts, strangely enough. And I guess that's it, which only leaves time for me to say, be good, catch you on the flip side, and roll good dice. Tales from the Periphery is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. In short, give us some credit, don't make money out of it, and if you make an adaptation of it, you must share it under the same license. Have fun!